This is the Nutters Club. Thanks to New Zealand On Air on News Talk ZB.
Previously on the Nutters Club, we were joined by a Dr. Goresh Kanji. Now, he's a, musculoskeletal, I think I got that right, pain specialist. Essentially, as a young man, when he was five, he had TB and spent a bit of time in Wellington Hospital and then ended up having it, very, very shortly after that, ended up having a car accident and spending some more time at Wellington Hospital. What it gave him really, though, was a first-hand understanding from a very early age about pain and where pain sat in his life and all aspects of it. Went on to become a doctor, went and did a medical degree, worked at Wellington Hospital for a while, became a GP for a good decade. So there you go, you get a bit of everything in that. And then ended up getting into pain specialisation and really how to treat that. But over the time, stumbled across an interesting finding where he was prescribing medication to people, but they kept coming back and they weren't getting any better. Did Dr. Goresh sit on his laurels and say, oh, well, that's the gig? No way. He started looking at other ways to treat people, and it's resulted in how many books now? Three books. Three books, and also actually getting great results for his patients. He's in the studio now talking about the connection between pain, mental health, and where it all kind of comes and how we can treat it. And really what I've taken from the first hour from you, Goresh, is about the idea of needing to have a well-balanced approach to treatment. You know, you sort of that we talk about this a lot, where we say one size does not fit all and you find what works for you. But, I mean, you're not here to degrade medicine. You're not here to degrade talk therapy or even, to, you know, acupuncture or saunas. Really, what I've heard you saying is that it's about finding a balance and finding the makeup of all of those tools that work for you.
Hamish, everyone is different. And I think we sometimes forget this, that some people may like this and some people may like that. And even when it comes to medications, you know, it's not like one medicine fits all. In fact, the approach is to go through 10 or 15 different medicines and then try one and then try another and then try another. And this is the same with the habits. Some people like yoga. Some people hate yoga. Some people like exercise, some people hate exercise. Some people hate the heat, they don't like saunas. And I think the really awesome thing about this new book that I've written is that I looked at all the research into habits that reduce the activity of the stress brain, and sort of 5 years ago I'd be focused more on saunas, as if, you know, and that would be my, I'd tell people, hey look, go to the sauna, that's really good for you. And I didn't really know about the other habits. And then I wrote the book for the last 4.5 years and I thought, hey, cool, there's actually 5 or 6 things here and there's probably more as well. But I'm quite, you know, I like the simple self-treatments that are relatively cheap, and so I concentrate on those in the book. And you're right, people are different. So I think we have to tailor our management strategies to individuals.
I'm going to tell you something that you know, my stepfather told me growing up, and I hope you'll be listening. Hi, Tom. And, you know, he told me, you know, sometimes that people don't feel like they're having a good time unless they're spending a lot of money. Not everyone, but just sometimes, you know, that I've spent X amount, so therefore I must have had a great night, right? You check the bank balance and go, whoo-hoo-hoo. Is it the same sometimes when people are treating themselves for pain and for medical conditions that, well, you know, I paid X amount to go and do whatever that treatment was or whatever the, you know, that the retreat was, whatever it may be. And so therefore, because I've spent the money, I should be getting the return. But it doesn't quite work that way always, does it?
It doesn't quite work like that at all, I think. When we categorize management strategies, let's look at painkillers for pain. They actually work in the brain pretty much, and in the brain they reduce electricity, and so they don't really fix your neck or your back. They're not going to fix your knee. And so I think a lot of the therapies, it's nice to know where they act so you know how to use them.
All right. Well, look, we've got people on the line who've been holding on for a while. Thank you so much. We love getting your calls. So let's go straight to them now. Annette, good morning.
Oh, good morning. Sorry. I'm very interested in the sauna.
Yeah, me too. Egg one kind of took me, came out of left field for me.
Oh, I love a good sauna.
Of course you do.
I don't really like a lot of heat. But the thing is, I just lost my mum recently. A beautiful funeral. Beautiful. But the thing is, I'm grieving.
Of course you are. Yeah.
Am I allowed to grieve?
Of course.
Yes. Now, the thing is, the family all got together, and because we hadn't got a lot of money, I own my own home, but my brothers wanted me to remortgage. We had the funeral directors, we went there, and my son and my daughter, we opted for the cheaper version.
Okay,
And my brother, that hasn't got a lot of money, and you have to sign a contract, because what happens when a beautiful person passes, like my mother, and I loved her so much, and my brother never really saw her very often, and they all came to the party when my mother was dying, and what happened is, to keep it simple for the family, my daughter and my son, we decided to go for the cheaper option.
And that's fine. Doesn't matter. You can't put a price on your love for your mum. That's, that in itself is priceless.
Exactly, love. But my brother decided we'll go $12,000. $12,000, whereas my son and my daughter and myself, because I'm sort of, I'm a bit frugal.
That's all right. That's good. Be frugal.
Yeah, look, you don't want to have financial stress on top of your grief, because that's just going to create more problems for you and your family.
Exactly. And my son stepped in. He's a school teacher. And he's only young. He's only 24. And he stepped in and he said, we will go for, they're supporting me. And he said, we will go for the cheaper option. And my mother had 10 children. By the time she's 29.
Wow.
That's a lot of, that's pretty, that's impressive. That is very impressive. What a lady.
And she was, and she ended up in the rest home, and she did get dementia. And in the last month, I could see my mother going downhill.
Look, my mother had 9 children, actually. And
that's great.
Yeah, she did actually. It's part of my story too. In fact, 2 of the children died and they were quite young. And that was some of the things that affected our family quite a lot as well. So it's hard to have lots of kids, I think.
Oh, of course. But Annette, look, what I'm just going to take from your call and what you've told us is that, having all that kind of stress, and sometimes, grief does funny things to people, doesn't it? We can act in really irrational and strange ways that we've never acted before. But you cannot put a price on the love and the memory of a person. It really doesn't matter how much you did or didn't spend on it. What is good is that you came together as a family, you were there, you saw her off together, and obviously, and I can take this just from what you've told us, the memory of your mum is really strong, and that is a beautiful story to be able to have for you and your family going forward. Thank you so much for the call, and all the best for keeping that memory alive. All right, what are we doing time-wise? Right, we are going to take a break. When we come back, I've got Lisa and Jeanette and Kathy on the line. I'd love to have you as well, so give me a call, 0800 80 10 80. Back soon.
The Nutters Club on News Talk ZB.
Welcome back to the show. Lisa, good morning.
Oh,
Hi. Hello. Sorry.
That's all right. Don't apologise.
I'm so, so happy to wait and talk to your guest, if that's okay. Hi to everyone.
Hello.
G'day.
Dr. Kenji, I have a degenerative chronic incurable disease that I was born with, and it causes intense chronic pain and acute pain, which is one of the weird things about it. And I've lived with this since I was born, obviously. I started getting pain at 13. I'm now 48. I've been on some pretty hardcore opiates for the last 7 years. And I have insomnia and all the stuff that goes with it. I'm not getting anywhere. It's just, you know, it barely takes my pain down 1 or 2 points at best. But I know that without it, I'd be stuck in bed all day.
Sounds like you've had a very hard and difficult time.
Yeah, I actually have heard your name, and I would have liked to have seen you. I know you're a doctor from Wellington, aren't you?
I'm actually in Auckland.
Are you?
As well now, yes, I live in Auckland.
Oh, okay. I had heard your name some years ago, and I was talking to a girlfriend who also has the same disease as me. But I haven't had a lot of luck with pain clinics. They were not terribly helpful. But yeah, hospice interfered a few years ago and looked after me for a year and a half under them, and they set me on a regime. They got me on a steady regime of long and short acting opiates.
One of the things you can do, if you like, is you can actually email me. Just go on my website, girishkanji.com. And you're welcome to just email me through that. Say you're on the Talkback show, and that's probably going to be the way to go to see if, you know, there's anything to help. As I said to the previous caller, medicinal cannabis is certainly an option if it hasn't been tried. It's certainly it's just another tool in the toolbox. And
exactly.
It's not the panacea for chronic pain.
No.
Even if 1 out of 10 people who suffer decades of pain improve with it, that's where the tool sits.
I did try some not legal stuff, but a girlfriend helped me out a few years ago to try some, and for the first time in my life, I actually got a nap for 30 minutes during the day, and when I woke up, I couldn't feel any part of my body that was screaming. So that was a really nice.
Well, that may be a good sign.
Yeah, it was a nice sensation. Yeah, but the cost of the medicinal at the moment is very, very prohibitive.
Mm. Yeah, look, that is a certain factor that I think we'll be talking about in the media and over the next 6 to 12 months. The costs and the barriers, especially for people like yourself with chronic pain, will be a hot topic for discussion.
Absolutely. Lisa, thank you so much for your call, and go and check out Dr. Genji's website, the website address.
Girishkanji.com.
Fantastic. Cheers, Lisa.
And we'll chuck it up on the Nutters Club Facebook page. In fact, I will do it now.
Okay, Kyle, you've got your job. Go, go, go. All right, let's go to Jeanette. Jeanette, good morning.
Good morning. Hi, everybody. after listening to that lady, I haven't really got a problem.
Oh, no, that's all right. Jeanette, please chime in. Chime in. As we've said, everyone's a bit
Our
different.
Problems are personal.
Everyone's a bit. It's not a competition, Jeanette.
No, I just felt so sorry for her. It's about the sleep problems. I guess I've had a sleep problem all my life, really. But since I got older, I've got to take Zopalene, is it?
Sopicline.
And my doctor's very careful with giving it to me because she says, you know, you've just got to spread it out over 3 or 4 months.
One of the problems with something like Zopicline and diazepam and some of those tablets is that if you take it regularly, it actually stops working and you need to take increased doses.
Yes, I do. Yes, I've got a cousin that does that. But,
so whenever I recommend or prescribe one of these tablets, it's sort of like two or three times a week at maximum, and that way you're having a break from it and it won't lose its effectiveness.
See, the maximum I'll take is half of one a night. I don't take one whole one, I only take half at a night.
Sure.
I don't want to go up to a whole one. And I try to have nights without it. If I've got nothing on the next day, I try to go without, because I think we're like sleeping, you know.
Sure.
But I've been told it causes Alzheimer's or something. Is that true?
Look, I don't know if there's a direct link there. In fact, the insomnia itself increases your risk of dementia by double. And let me explain this, because I think it'll be very interesting to the readers.
Listeners at this point.
Listeners.
That's all right. You're an author.
I'm in the wrong medium.
You're an author normally. Anyway, sorry.
So what actually happens between the ages of 60 and 90, part of our brain that subserves memory, or one of them, the hippocampus, shrinks. And it naturally shrinks. And what happens is the rate of dementia increases from sort of 10 in 1,000 to 100 in 1,000 between the ages of 60 and 90. Now, what happens with insomnia, anxiety, depression is that the stress chemicals attach to the hippocampus and shrink it. So studies have shown, and these studies measure the hippocampus with MRI scans for people who have depression and people who don't have depression, as well as insomnia and don't have insomnia. And what the studies have found is that the hippocampus has shrunk, and hence what happens is, if you have insomnia, your risk of developing dementia doubles. So it's actually not sleeping that's really the core problem. And I don't know what habits you have, but, you know, one of them is taking a hot bath. 20 minutes taking a hot bath an hour before you go to sleep is one that I recommend to a lot of people, because not all of us have time to go to the sauna or go to the gym or do other things. So that's a nice, simple habit that probably will reap some benefits.
Fantastic. Jeanette, thank you so much for your call. Let's go to Kathy. Kathy, good morning.
Good morning. Well, it's been very interesting listening to the people. I was actually just about to download a book on Amazon when I heard this discussion taking place. Explain Pain by David Butler and Laura Mosley. I had a very serious car accident. Actually, it's 45 years ago.
Wow. Okay.
And a head-on collision with a out-of-control vehicle, you know, the other car.
Right.
And so, yes, I can relate to the doctor about having... I spent a long time in hospital and traction. And I had such an incredible surgeon that, you know, it was just all natural healing, you know, just the traction dragging. I had so many fractured, you know, my whole torso was completely fractured. And so rather than cause any more organs to be punctured, I was just kept in a position which I call the Socrates healing process, is the way I put it. And so the body healed itself. But after about 8 years of problems with my neck, well, of course, I had loads of issues from then on, but it didn't stop me having a third son.
Well done.
Yes, I know, because that was the only time with all those, that long stretch in hospital, was when I cried, when they told me that I couldn't have any more family. And I had two boys, but I totally blocked that from my mind and decided, well, I was that was my choice. And so I said to them, there's more ways than one to skin a cat. And so my specialist was absolutely thrilled. You know, you could just imagine. He pulled me through such a horrific operation, car accident, and then... to see a little boy very healthy little boy growing in the time that he was still dealing with my injuries. He was very proud. Yeah. But anyway, getting back to this issue.
Sure.
And I am diverting. Sorry about
that. That's okay. That's all right.
But when we start talking about these things that happened quite some time ago, which was terribly traumatic, it does tend to trigger all of these other memories. So if I start wandering off, just pull me back again. So at the moment, getting back down to what my issues are these days, is nerve problems, of course, because the nerve canals down the spine have been very badly damaged and narrowing with age.
If I could just jump in there for a little, because your story is similar to mine.
Yes.
I basically was in that car accident at the age of 5, and I've played a lot of sport, had several other accidents as well. And I've got discs, 2 in my neck, one's pressing into my spinal cord, basically 4 in my lower back are basically quite narrowed, and you can see changes in the bone. And so quite often what happens is we have, I often explain musculoskeletal pain as that we have washes throughout the body.
Yes.
And they basically absorb pressure because bones don't really like pressure.
No.
And what happens is once we damage these washes, over decades, we often experience narrowing.
That's right.
And then, and what happens later on is we start paying for it. So we don't really get away with much.
Well, yes. And the fact is, I'm the sort of person that I was extremely active. I was a businesswoman. I ran a full chain of hairdressing salons. I could not go back to that. And I had to do a whole lifestyle change, basically. And that in itself was very, very traumatic, because at the time that I had my accident, the woman was not an issue. You know, you didn't get any care or anything like that, because I had a husband who was the breadwinner. No one really, you know, it was just one of those things that I felt totally helpless and hopeless, and going through extreme pain, but still raising my children and running a household. And but I did go back to my business.
So you're having a lot of spinal pain, I'm taking it?
I have it. I've had it all my life. Yeah. I have, all this period, but lower back pain.
Look, I've written 2 books on spinal pain, and in fact, I had back pain for 2 years where I was waking every day at 2 a.m. and also had neck pain and tingling in my fingers.
Oh, yeah.
And so one of them's called Fix Your Back. And one of them's Fix Your Neck Pain, Headache and Migraine. And they they actually have full-colour books with pictures in them that explain postures that help the discomfort and some of the traction exercises. And they're available in most bookshops and also on the website, girishkanji.com. They may be a reasonable place to start, just to explore the space.
Give it a go, Kathy, and by all means, come back to us. I'd really love to hear from you after you've reached out and had a look at some of those resources and tools, and see if it makes any difference for you, one way or another. Give us a call back. We'd love to hear from you. Cheers for the call, Kathy. All right, we're going to take a break. We've got Colin and Johnny and Sandra on the line. Have we got you? Give us a call. 0800 80 1080. Back soon.
This is the Nutters Club on News Talk ZB.
Welcome back to the show. Colin, good morning.
Good morning. I wish I'd plugged in earlier. It's an interesting topic that you've got.
Not bad,
and,
is it?
I certainly wish I'd met the doctor that's on years ago, because there's so many doctors that have no idea. I mean, if you live with pain, you can see someone on the street and recognise what they're going through, and it gives you empathy. But I've been to so many doctors in my life that, you know, the guy before me goes in, and he's got no leg, but his foot has given him so much pain, he's on so many opioids, but he doesn't have a foot. And then I go in, and, you know, a life of just not just pain, but pain, which is we're into hysterical crisis team, and it's a place where suicide seems to be the only way of stopping it when it's out of control like that. And if you're talking about insomnia, well, that increases your pain levels 20-fold. And at my age, I'm 61 and I've spent nearly 2 years back to back in hospitals, and I've had so many operations and organs taken out and organs put in, and they're buggered already, and they gave me 3 months to live 2 years ago, but I'll die when I'm ready. I've got business and things to do. And I astound them every time I see them. They go, oh, I'm very shocked to see you. It's because, they told me years ago. But they were actually quite cruel. It was at one stage, I couldn't get my gallbladder taken out. And it wasn't really a gallbladder. It was just an old stocking full of pus. And they said that I was such a write-off, but I wasn't worth dying. And I had to come to live in Auckland near a hospital waiting for it to implode. And when it did, my doctor sent me in rapidly in a hospital, and they wouldn't see me. And I made it back to see her, collapsed. She came back with me and went off like a nutcase to make sure that I was operated on. And they were saying, well, you know, he's that buggered up anyway. But, it's like the world doesn't have a lot of empathy. Like if you say you've got insomnia, we'll take these. And I've been on sleeping pills all my life, but they don't believe me when I say, well, it's been 10 days since I, closed my eyes. I can't sleep, drive a car, because I'll drive over a pedestrian and see straight from. And it's a cool place to be stuck and have a doctor just sum you up as, you're just seeking pills or whatever, and they've got it totally wrong.
I think one of the things that I can hear from your suffering is, and I say this to a lot of patients, that empathy is a hard one in terms of, I think if you've experienced a problem, you can have empathy, like real empathy. I've had back pain and neck pain, and when someone comes to see me with spinal pain, I can sort of have some empathy towards that. If you haven't experienced the problem yourself, you can be sympathetic, but it is much harder, I believe, to have true empathy. And I think, so when you do see health professionals, I think in some ways it's hard to, you need to give them a break, because you've gone through lots of problems in your life, obviously, and it's pretty tough. And I think there'd be very few people that could have true empathy with what you've been through.
Colin, thank you very much for your call. We've got to keep going on, so we've got to take a break. When we come back, I've got Johnny and Sandra and Greg on the line. If you want to ask a question of the good doctor, well, he's here and dishing out great advice left, right and centre. Kyle, what are you doing?
I'm just getting books signed.
Excellent. I just wanted to make sure you're still here. Good man. Back soon here on the Nutters Club. Welcome back to the Nutters Club. Let's go to Johnny. Johnny, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Hamish, and Kyle and the good doctor. How are you? I love your work.
Thanks.
Cheers, Johnny.
In the last year and a half, I've been getting some back pain. I'm a taxi driver, and I've been getting some pain in the lower back area. Now, I looked up Dr. Google, and it said the bottom of my spine could be compressed while I'm sitting down. I'm just wondering if the doctor, apart from stretches, if there's anything you can help me with that.
Sure. Look, the most common source of back pain is the discs in our spine, and the discs are basically water washers. So they're a complex arrangement of chemicals, but they're about 70, 80% water. And what they do is absorb pressure. So I like to think of it, it's a little bit like your knee. So you've got your cartilage in your knee, and if the cartilage is damaged and you go running, the electricity goes from there to your brain and your knee hurts. Now think of your back in a similar fashion, that if you put pressure on that disc, what happens is the water squeezes out of it into your bones and you put pressure on it. So every second you sit, you're putting pressure on your spine. And there's a few tricks to learn here. One of them is never sit up straight, because when you sit up straight, not against the back of the chair, all your body weight is going through your spine. So you always, as a taxi driver, lean your seat back a little, have a lumbar support, and sit to the back of the chair so your body weight is going through the back of the chair and not going straight down your spine. And when you get home, sit in a recliner chair. Because when you're reclined, your body weight's going through the chair, not through your spine. So I think that there's been this big misconception that sitting up straight is the ideal way to sit for your lower spine. And I suspect...
That's what I've been doing, is sitting up straight.
You want to be sitting, leaning back. And the only reason you want to sit up straight is probably goes back to sort of schools where you want to be closer
to
God.
On the mat. Sitting on the mat at school, isn't it? We all got taught that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How's that sound, Johnny?
Yeah, that sounds great. And do you think going to a spa will be good for that?
Absolutely. Look, a spa, sauna, doing exercise is extremely good. I mean, I say to people that regardless of what is going on with you, even if you're perfectly healthy, you really need to get out there 4 days a week minimum and do something that will help the stress brain and help the body. So that's just about mandatory to live.
Okay. No, thank you for that.
No worries, Johnny. Thanks for the call, and good luck with it all.
Okay, thank you.
Go well. Yeah, look, and that's the thing too, isn't it? You know, we have become such a sedentary, people. You know, so many of our jobs day to day, we are sitting for very long periods of time, whether it be in a moving vehicle or in an office.
And Hamish, let me tell you another thing. So if I'm sitting up straight, I've got 50 kilograms going through my spine. If I'm leaning forward in a chair, it's 275 kilograms. So leaning forward in that chair, typing in your computer, sort of leaning into the screen.
Hunched over, stressed.
Hunched over, you're crushing your spine. And people need to really recognize this, because I see it. In fact, as I walked in here, I saw it with one of the people working at the office there, and I thought, that's not going to end well.
So we should all be working in Lazy Boys with our feet up, shouldn't we?
Absolutely.
I'm into this. I think we could do it. Look, to be fair, if you can get the open office plan, which has been proved to be like one of the worst ideas ever, if you can get that across the line, I'm pretty sure we can get Lazy Boys in there.
Lazy Boys for everybody.
Let's do it. Lazy Boys for everybody. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to say Sandra. Good morning, Sandra.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right. I have rung because I suffer with chronic pain. I have treatment-resistant depression, agoraphobia, panic attacks. The works. And what I find one of the most difficult things is when I go to my GP, I've actually been diagnosed with the skeletal pain syndrome. When I go to her and I'm in one of my depressive moods, she dismisses the pain, the physical pain, and I'm not quite sure how to get around that.
Let me explain it a little bit. So we've got a real circuit going on, a cycle. So what happens with poor sleep and depression is basically pain produces stress chemicals. Stress chemical drives insomnia. Insomnia increases stress chemicals. Then you get depression. And all the time, your pain's getting worse. So there's more electricity being produced in the part of your brain that subserves pain. So you've got this circuit going on, pain, stress, depression, and more pain. And one of the things that is really useful is to try and break the cycle. And so I think, you know, like if you're able, and I know you have difficulty sometimes leaving the house, so it's a pretty tough gig. And there again, as I talked to the previous caller, if you have a hot bath, then 20 minutes in a hot bath, followed by actually lying down for 30 minutes is, and with your eyes closed, is a really good form of therapy to start unwinding the stress brain a little bit. And hopefully you have a hot bath and that's quite achievable.
Sandra, thank you very much for your call and let us know how you get on. We are going to take a break. When I come back, I've got a few more callers on the line. If you want to give us a call, you can try. We have had a few texts as well. Some of you just sort of asking questions for how to find Dr. Goresh's resources and everything. So I will reply to those and let you know as well. But basically,
and it's on the Facebook page now.
Basically, go to the Facebook page now. If you go to Nutters Club NZ Facebook page, you'll find the link there. Click through and really you'll be able to connect with everything that Dr. Goresh is doing. Back soon here on the Nutters Club.
Nutters Club, now on News Talk ZB.
Greg, good morning.
Good day. Hey, I just don't know where to start.
At the very beginning.
I went to hospital a while back, and I got pancreatitis, right?
Right.
And I've been in about three times with this pancreatitis. And then the last time, all they did was put me on morphine and stuff, which did help, but not really. And then this specialist came in and says, oh, sorry, you've got hep C. You've got too much pressure on your lungs, which was through water. They put a drain in and they took out about 4.5 litres of moisture. And I had pneumonia as well. And then they come up and I've got too many white blood cells, which was CLL, they call it, so chronic leukemia. And in the moment, I've been in so much pain with the pancreas, and all they've given me is morphine and codeine. There's nothing else that they've sort of given me, and I don't know what to do about it because I don't want to be on this morphine and codeine all the time.
Fair enough. What do you reckon, Doctor?
Well, they're sorting things out and hopefully some solutions will come to light.
What would that CBD do? Would that be a help or not?
Look, I think at the end of the day, it's for intractable pain for which everything else has been tried. So
They haven't tried anything. All they've given me is morphine and codeine.
Well, there's probably about another list of 10 different types of pain-modifying medications that could be tried. And I think it may pay just even go back to your general practitioner and say, hey, look, what other types of medicines can modify the pain I'm in? And I think that's probably a good start because there are other medicines. And let me explain some of this because what we're talking about is reducing electricity in our brains. And so quite often we'll use...
So it's all to do with the brain, you think?
No. The pain's coming from your body, but it goes to the brain. Our tablets sort of mostly work in the brain to suppress pain. Okay, so, you know, hopefully there's a treatment that can be aimed at your pancreas. And you may be lucky enough, but if there's not, then really our tools are sort of more aimed at the electricity in the brain. So some of them are small doses of antidepressants. So we're not using them for depression, but we're actually using them just to wind down a little bit of electricity in your brain. There's some...
I'm on sertraline.
Yeah, there's some anti-epileptic medication. There's antipsychotic medications in small doses. So there's a whole range of things. And so I think really it's about exploring some of the different ones that are available, starting with very low doses is what I recommend. And yeah, basically...
I'm only on the 10 milligram on the sertraline.
And if that's not quite doing it, then there's like 4 or 5 others. And so you just got to go through them, see which one fits and helps. And that's probably the first step I would take. Thanks a lot for your call.
Cheers, Greg. Good man. All the best. Mary, good morning.
Yes, good morning. I'm ringing up about a very able 23-year-old girl who has been in so much pain since round about Christmas time that she has been unable to work. She has had a big operation for endometriosis. That was in April. And I think we all hoped that would cure the problem, but it didn't. So the specialist sent her on to a gastro man who is also very helpful, and he is doing tests, but he has said, I don't know that I will be able to cure your pain. She sees a naturopath because we're quite desperate. He also says, I don't think you will ever be pain-free. Apart from all this obvious abdominal stuff, which is really bad, she has post-traumatic stress disorder, for which she is receiving help, wonderful help, at the anxiety clinic. But I was so interested, I just happened to wake up and hear your program, and I thought, your advice from you may be very, very helpful.
I think one of the things that stress amplifies pain, and so, you know, a really, to ensure that she does a habit that reduces the activity of her stress brain 3 or 4 times a week that she's capable of. And this is where I quite like the heat, because most of us can sit in a spa or a bath or perhaps go in the sauna, because, you know, even if you're tired, it's not too difficult to do, whereas sometimes we may not be able to all exercise rigorously because it's just too hard. So she needs to try even meditation. You can just lie down and do it, and breathing. So I think she needs to look at, explore some habits that will at least wind down her stress brain. And that may be one way, you know, to go about this, as well as obviously exploring some medication options. She's obviously having some talk therapy for a post-traumatic stress disorder, which is good. And often what I think with, like, I see cases like that, and I think it's about going to different specialists in different fields. And so I quite think of pain as like a little bit of a puzzle. You want to exclude things. So, you know, you've been to one specialist to exclude, you know, or to have a look at the endometriosis. Then you might go to the gastroenterologist to exclude the gut as a source of pain. Then you may want to go to a musculoskeletal or someone who, you know, who looks at musculoskeletal pain, and then you might want to go to another specialist if you don't get joy, because really you want answers as to what may be contributing to that pain.
Look, and Mary, thank you so much for your call. Dr. Gresh, look, where are you hoping that your work is going to take the conversation about pain and the treatment of it, as well as the impact it has on us? Because, you know, you've become very vocal. I mean, you're doing the rounds, you're publishing the books, you're beating this drum. What is it that you want to see medical practitioners doing more of that they're not doing enough of, in your opinion, at the moment?
Look, I don't think it's just medical practitioners. I actually think it's more people themselves. I have a strong belief that you need to take ownership of what's going on with you rather than handing it all over. And I strongly believe that there'll be a proportion of people that can be helped with simple self-management tools aimed at the source of the problem. And so there'll always be those that are in the very hard basket that have to seek doctors and specialists help. But I think there's, you know, a good 50-60% of people, and that can be helped with simple treatments. The other thing I'm passionate about is I'm not really interested in how you might be in a week or two or a month or two. That's great that you might be better, but it's really how you're going to be in 3 or 4 or 5 decades' time. And this is different for different people. So if you're 30, it's about how's that spine going to be when you're 80? Are you going to look after it and manage it? Or are you just going to ruin it for yourself? And that's so, and I really dislike seeing patients at the end of the spectrum that haven't had the right advice because we haven't been able to give the right advice.
Dr. Goresh Kanji, thank you so much for being our guest on the Nutted Club tonight. It has been absolutely amazing, a real insight, and you are a fountain of knowledge. Thank you for doing what you do so well. Dr. Kyle McDonald, clinical psychotherapist, thank you so much for being here. It's been good. And Boris and Jimmy, our producers, thank you so much for doing what you do. And to the rest of you listening, thank you so much for being here on a Nutters Club. Remember, be kind to each other, be kind to yourself, and we'll do it all again next time here on Nutters Club. And it feels like you're drowning, pulling against the street, pulling against the...
This is the Nutters Club, thanks to New Zealand On Air on News Talk ZB.